All right, well, welcome back. We've seen, taken a look at some new features in the development environment. We've taken a look at some new web features. My name is Susan Ibach. I am a technical evangelist at Microsoft Canada. With me?
Still Christopher Harrison, and Microsoft Certified Trainer, and you'll also, well, you did notice there a second ago,
our Twitter handles, there you go.
Exactly. So,
Yeah, so we've been talking about some new features in Visual Studio. What we're going to do now is we're going to take at some of the features that are new from the application lifecycle management perspective.
Yes.
Or ALM for short, as we often think of it.
Yep.
So what we're going to do here is, first of all, a lot of people, I know when I was first playing with Visual Studio, when I heard the words TFS, it's or Team Foundation Server, it scared me.
Absolutely. I mean, I know for me personally, as a trainer, I really did not like to do any of the TFS classes. That I really tried to avoid those as much as I possibly could.
Well, in the early days when you were using Team Foundation Server, the capabilities were really strong, but the installation was not simple because you had to install certain SQL Server components, certain SharePoint components before you could even get TFS up and working, and then you had to worry about sort of configuring up your team and your project and everything. One of the things that happened in Visual Studio 2012, Team Foundation Server 2012, is how much simpler that got. So if you sort of, you know, looked at TFS many years ago and haven't gone back to it, you absolutely want to take a second look at it again because it's so much easier now. You can simply install it. You're literally, it's like installing Visual Studio. You go install Team Foundation Server, sort of done. And there's even Visual Studio Online, which we're going to talk about in the session if you don't even want to install it.
Yes, exactly. And that way, if you are a smaller team, maybe you just don't have the skill set that's necessary to do the installation. Maybe you don't necessarily need every single feature that's available. Visual Studio Online can be a perfect solution for you. We'll actually talk a bit about that later.
Yeah, so as I said, it's gotten a lot easier to get started using the full capabilities of Team Foundation Server and using it within TFS. Another big improvement we saw in 2012 was the integration with GitHub. So many people are already using GitHub for some of their projects, so the fact that you're no longer forced to take it, you can still use GitHub for your source control and do that within TFS is another big win. So said, just a couple things to mention. Now, in 2013, there are some more great improvements to TFS, which we're going to talk about here. And some of those improvements are really focused on allowing you to manage multiple projects. That's one of the big changes we're starting to see, where you sort of have a lot of different features and things happening. And a lot of other just extra features people have been requesting and asking for along the way, which you'll see are starting to pop up. So just some nice changes. So what we're going to take a look at in this session is we're going to talk about some of the new features that were added to TFS to help with planning. We all have to track things like requirements. So, you know, where do I track all my requirements and the status of different activities and things that I want to do inside my project? We have some new features that have been added, which you're going to affect you more in the development phase. We have Visual Studio Online. There was a TFS Online. We're going to take a look at Visual Studio Online, sort of been rebranded a little bit. And then there's a new product called in-release management. So those are sort of the four things we're going to go through. So let's take a start by looking at the new features that are really out there from a planning perspective. And there's basically five I want to show you, something called the Iteration Task Board, an administration view for managing multiple teams, features, work item, Kanban board, and work item tagging. But rather than talk about them here, it's more interesting to dive in.
Yeah, absolutely.
So first of all, let me take a step back, and I want you to think about what you do when you're doing planning on a project, right? If you're working with Team Foundation Server, what you're going to do is you're going to have one or more teams. Mm-hmm. Each team's going to have one or more team members.
Yep.
You're going to have requirements you're collecting, whether it's a small project or a big one, you know, of what are the user stories, the requirements, the things that you're going to support in the application you're building. You're going to have these requirements or user stories in different phases, iterations, right? So in our first release, this is what we're going to include. In our second release, this is what we're going to include. And each of those, so we have a set of these user stories or requirements, and then maybe a requirement is I'm a runner, so I want an app that will let me, I'm designing an app that's gonna, I can use as a runner, and one of the things I want to be able to do is convert miles per hour to kilometers per hour, because I'm always talking to my American friend, we're comparing running times, and you're busy telling me you're running a 9-minute mile, and I'm like, I don't know, I run a 5-minute 30 kilometer.
And, you know, outside of the 8-minute mile versus to the 5-minute kilometer, after that, I'm pretty much sunk.
Exactly.
Yeah, trying to do those conversions in the back of my head.
So I might want that feature, and that would be my user story, is a runner wants to convert miles per minute to kilometers per minute, or minutes per kilometer to minutes per mile. And then so what that turns into is a number of different tasks. Somebody's going to have to write the conversion routine. Somebody's going to have to write maybe the user interface if it's going to support it. Maybe I'll even create it as a web service so I can access it from different front ends.
Little really web great. API action over there, a little REST. Yep.
Exactly.
Yeah, I gotcha. Uh-huh.
So I break up those. So I create each task that will be required to create that capability, and I divide those across my team members. So I'm going to give you the job of making the RESTful web service, and since I make such stunning user interfaces, I will be designing the UI.
Yep.
A little sarcasm there. If you have seen any of my code, it's pretty hideous. The code's nice. The UI, you don't want me doing
the UI. The UI is functional. The UI does what it needs to do. If you're just looking for, you know, bells, whistles, flowers, and otherwise,
not so much. So those are the things we do. And then once we've got those things entered, we'll want to track progress. Certainly when you're a programming supervisor, you get a project, a lot of times people are like, well, where are we at for the first release? Is everything on time? What's done? What's still being waited? What's still on the backlog? So those are the basic tasks we're always ending up doing. Now, I don't know, Christopher, have you ever actually been on a larger project and you were trying to keep track of all the different tasks that were responsible for, like, release one? And you get that request from the manager of going, what's the status?
You know, that's probably the biggest problem because, you know, everybody tends to become a silo that, you know, I know what I'm working on, but I have no idea what my cube mate is working on and the next person is working on. So having to run around and have the conversation with 10 different people, again, that really just, you know, herding cats. Not fun.
So, and that's it. So what we want to do is we have different views we can use inside Team Foundation Server that can show us all the different tasks or user stories that have been assigned to a particular iteration. So an iteration, a sprint, a release that we're putting together. And one of the things you can do is you can actually see what we call a task board for each iteration.
Nice.
So you can see exactly what's happening on a particular iteration, what the status is of the different ones. So let me just flip over here. And I'm going to go open up Team Foundation Server. And I am going to take advantage of a fantastic set of virtual machines that were built by Brian Keller. They can be available to download from his blog.
Yes.
And it said it's a great way to explore Team Foundation Server and start playing with the new features. You can absolutely download those from his blog. That's what I'm using here. The link is in the slide deck.
Yep.
All right. So I have something open here. I've got Team Foundation Server open. And this is for this page here, just so you know, this is what we call sort of our homepage. And we can use this to, this is something like a manager would log into on Internet Explorer.
Yep.
Notice I'm not in Visual Studio. I want that quite deliberately because the manager isn't necessarily going to be working in Visual Studio every day.
Right, exactly.
So I can go in here, see the basic highlights, and they choose certain reports and things they want easy access to. And one of the things they can do is you can go in and, you know, you can choose the backlog. And that's usually what the manager's most concerned
with. Yes, exactly.
What's not done yet? That's usually where they're focused.
Who would I have to go yell at?
And then, of course, what happens is as you're getting the backlog, someone, of course, is going to come along and go, oh, can you add something? So I'm going to go in here and say, the manager, our senior manager just came in and said, oh, I want a new feature. Can see weather outages. So this is a weather system that's being built for Windows Phone and for a website.
Mm-hmm.
And I want somebody to be able to see, power outages due to weather. So you can go in very quickly, add a new item to the backlog, and you just click add. Very simple. And one of the other things they fixed up nicely in 2012 is they're listed in order of priority. And if this should be higher priority, you can literally just drag it on up and poof.
Nice.
There you go. Now we've identified this is number one priority. We've got to add this feature. So what we can do now is I can even double click on that story and add more details. Because we've got this new task we need to complete. We need to figure out who's going to do the work, how much work is involved, and so on. So I can go and assign it. And since Brian Keller was kind enough to go and build these VMs, I'm going to give him more work and assign it to him.
Hey, you know, that's always the problem. If you're really good, you're really productive, you know what you get rewarded with?
More work.
Work.
If you do good work, I'll reward you with more work. I'm going to pick approved as the status because I want to make it clear this is approved to start development. And I'm going to define the effort and maybe an effort here of 8. Now, this isn't hours of effort. This is a relative value. So anytime you add a user story, you're going to give it a relative effort. So if this is 8 and there's another one that I think is going to be way harder, I'll make it 20. But it doesn't mean it's 20 hours of work. I just want to make sure that's really clear. This is just a relative measure. Some people might say 50 and 100. Mm-hmm. Other people might say 5 and 10. So it's really just as relative to other user stories, what's a reasonable estimate of effort.
I gotcha.
All right. So I go ahead and I create that, and then I can save and close it. And then what I want to probably want to do next is, now we wouldn't normally go around doing this, but I want to go add it to one of my sprints. So let's go and, oh, I'm not, actually, let's move this over to, I want to go back here. Nope, come back up, thank you. And not sure why I'm not seeing the list, but okay, it's all right, I'll do it this way. So what I want to do is you'll notice the other items in this list are already assigned to iteration 3, and I'm actually going to add this one, and I'm going to put this to move to an iteration as well. Come on, bring this up, and today it's mine. Now it's my turn to have problems. For some reason, I can't find the option of taking that and dragging over to iteration 3, because that's the way things are going for me now. All right, why am I not getting that? Usually I see my iterations here, so I'm a little thrown off. Must be I'm on the wrong view here. Hang on, back to the home board. All right, go to my backlog. Oh, you know what? I may need to go to multiple teams. Let me just get all the teams up. All right, let's go to the view for all the teams. Let's go to our backlog. And still not seeing the iterations lead. View backlog. There's a reason I always make notes for myself. It's one of those moments when there's a lot of different windows open. I usually see the iterations listed on the left-hand side. I've got my user story added. I have assigned it. And I want to put it on iteration 3. And I can't see iteration 3. Do you mind doing a little song and dance, Christopher, distract people while I do battle with this and try and figure out why on earth I can't bring up the list of the iteration choices here?
I'm just kind of looking there real quick.
Said I'm in iteration
yep.
3.
Yeah.
But I don't know why I'm not seeing that there. All right. Well,
in any event,
so anyway, moving on, because I don't want to you guys to spend sitting there watching Susan spend time just navigating around. So what I'm going to do instead is I'm going to hop over to this board here. And the thing is, I want to bring up this board. This task board, one of the things that's changed between, and this is really the big change between Visual Studio 2012 and 2013, is this board is now available per iteration. So per phase, whereas in the past, it would always be for the entire project. So it's awesome now that we can see this for every single iteration, and we can see a particular task there. And you can see this item here, if it's listed approved, and you can take an item, and you can say, not only is it approved, we're committed to it. And when you bring up the board for a particular iteration, you can indicate what's in process, what's done. And the other thing is, let's say Brian started working on this at the end of a day, he can actually click on that. Oops, sorry, actually hadn't had the task for it yet. So we can indicate that's committed, and we can double click on that. And you can even go in, sort of update sort of hours when you break it down into the individual tasks. You can actually go into each individual task, indicate the number of hours to complete for each task required to complete that, and you can drag it from in progress to done. So you can literally see, as a manager, you can see who's been assigned what tasks, what the status is of each task, the number of hours left for each task.
Nice.
And there's even a nice little progress bar in the top right-hand corner that will actually highlight in red if a number of hours of work you have left is more than you can possibly fit left into your sprint.
That's nice.
So very quick and easy.
Yep.
And said, for whatever reason, I'm having trouble seeing the iterations on the left. But when you've got that list of iterations on the left-hand side, I could easily just take one of those tasks and go, wow, look, we've got too many hours in the sprint. Let's just take this task, drag it over to the next iteration, and move that to iteration 4, and poof, everything updates.
So rather than having to go to talk to Steve, to Brian, to Michael, that all I have to do is just go to one page, boom, and now I get the full picture, and I can also start to make changes, move things around if we realize that you were not going to meet certain deadlines.
Exactly. So you don't have your manager breathing down your neck, sort of going, what's going on? Or as the manager, you're not constantly having to harass everybody to find out what's going on. You can immediately see if you're on track for that release, which you know is always the question you're trying to answer.
Yep.
And you can see the exactly what isn't completed, what is completed, what work everyone has left to do, and reassign as needed.
That's awesome.
So it's a really powerful capability.
Love it.
All right. So let's go back here now. All right. Noom-de-doom. Okay. Let's go back to our slideshow.
You have to do the slideshow dance.
Oh, I have to. Oh, that's what I forgot to do. I didn't do a slideshow dance. All right. See, now I'm having, it's my turn to have the fun with the slideshow. All right. So that's the, it was meant to be the iteration task board. Sorry I had to talk to it, but that's really fabulous capability. Now, the other thing that you may have run into is, have you ever had to work on a project where you had multiple teams and you had some individuals who were even split across multiple teams?
Yeah, actually, I'm going to do that sentence all over again.
Give it a shot.
There we go. The last full-time job that I had was actually at an organization where we had a whole bunch of different products that we were working on. And we had a relatively, which is typical of most organizations, small number of developers. So I was on one team that was in charge of migrating our ASP application into ASP.NET. Shows you how long ago this was. I was in charge of doing that. But even though we were in the midst of doing the migration, and I had a few developers on my team that were working on that, there was still support and work that needed to be done on the currently existing ASP app.
Yep.
So they were all splitting time that they were working for me, helping migrate ASP to ASP.NET, but they were also still doing ASP work. And trying to track all of that, trying to manage all of that, trying to make sure that I knew what it was they were working on today, are they working for me or are they working for somebody else today, was really a challenge, was really a pain.
Yeah. So one of the big things we've really focused on in TFS 2013 over TFS 2012 is better ability to handle multiple teams. So it's a simple thing, but there is new portfolio capabilities. So you can actually manage work across multiple teams and see how that's actually working and rolling up to a bigger project or goal. So what I'd like to show you, just as a simple thing, is how you actually go see the view for managing the multiple teams.
Okay.
Because that's something we haven't had in the past. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to come back to my environment here and go back to my machine. And one of the options I have in the corner is I have this ability sort of to go to settings. And these are the settings for Julia, who's the user I'm logged in as. And you can actually see all the different teams that you've got.
Nice.
And when you choose areas, you can actually choose, you know, when I'm logged in as Julia, which teams is it that I'm sort of tracking and keeping track of. And of course, you can go in and you can change, you know, who's assigned to different teams and so on. So this is this newer, better ability now to set things up across multiple teams. And then you're going to have views when Julia goes and looks at a task board or one of the backlogs, she's going to see the backlogs for her teams. So she can focus right in and see the information she's concerned of that she's got a responsibility for. Even if there are team members split across multiple groups, I'm only going to see the tasks they're assigned to database team, even though, Christopher, you're on the database and the ASP.NET team.
Right.
Yeah. So that's said, all good things, just trying to make our lives a little bit easier. All right. So let's keep going.
Slide dance.
Yes, slide dance. All good. I'm going to have to learn. It's not my instinct. I'm going to have to figure out my equivalent of a slide dance. Okay. Now, here's another one that sort of comes up occasionally. A lot of times, what happened in the past in TFS 2012 is a lot of people were actually creating a work item of type feature. Because we really tend to think of it as, I have features that someone's requested, and to support that feature, I'm going to have one or more user stories.
Yep.
To implement that user story, I'm going to have different developers on my team complete specific tasks.
Right.
So it's a very natural progression that most of us are already doing.
Yep.
So what have we done inside TFS is there is a new work item called feature. Yes, this is one of those, thank you, this is something we absolutely wanted and needed sort of features. So let me just go take you on a quick tour of what that capability gives you when you go poking around inside the tool. So I will return once again to my virtual machine, and we will poke around in there. And I'm going to go back to my TFS portal, and I'm going to go back to the homepage. And I believe it's under the backlog. And underneath backlog, here's a new menu item we haven't had in the past. We now have the option of choosing features. So I can go to features, and I can see the backlog of features that we're waiting on.
Nice.
I also have the ability to show different views. So I can actually show the breakdown of how that feature is going to work to right down to the task level.
Nice. Okay.
So I can see that feature because, I mean, as a manager, you're like, okay, I know those features are out there, but you probably want to know, well, what am I waiting on for that feature to be implemented?
Right.
What phase is it in? Is it completed?
Yep.
So I can break this right down and see that, well, here's a user story. There's two user stories required to support this feature. Here are the tasks, and I can see for every single one of them the state. Is it? It's in the to-do. It's done. Mm-hmm. So it gives me a very instant status update on what's happening with a particular feature. If you are also working on features, if we go to the feature view, You can actually add new features as well, because, you know, I'm the boss. I can add more features if I want to. More work for Christopher.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, so we'll add some more work for Christopher here. That's the new feature, extra work. And
again, do a good job, you get rewarded with more
absolutely.
Work.
And if I double click on that, I can go in and I can specify a number of different things. So I could assign it to you, but you're in luck because I haven't got you in the system here, Christopher. So
excellent.
I'm going to assign it to Brian again because I'm rewarding his good work with more work.
Excellent. All right.
And I'm marking it as, you know, approve. It's new. It's all good. Not in progress yet.
Not yet.
And one of the other neat things you can do is you can actually create work items directly. Because you know right away if there's going to be work items associated with it, you can actually create work items and link them to it immediately. So I can say, yes, actually there's a task that I want to create associated with more work for Christopher. Need a new web page, please. Because we've seen all your, you know, you've been doing some cool stuff with web, so we're going to get you to build all the web stuff. So you can go ahead and do that, and poof, we're off and running. The other thing you can do there is you'll notice the area. You can control that as well. That's the team I want to assign it to.
Okay.
So I can go in and I can say, actually, you know, I want to assign that specifically to the web team or to the database team. I guess it's a web page, so we'll assign it to the web team.
Yep, makes sense.
So right away I can do that. And then I can go off and save that. Crunching, crunching, crunching. Hello. It will come back, really. Okay, we're good. It's all saved. All right, so again, now if we go and look at that larger view with feature to task, we'll actually see there's the task that we assigned to you. So we can do that as we create the features, and it makes life a little bit easier.
I like that you were very polite when you assigned a new web page,
please. Well, that's... I am a Canadian after all.
Yes.
And we are known for that.
I'm sorry.
No problem. All right, so now if I actually go and I navigate specifically to the web team, I can actually go look at information to see that that item's been assigned to the web team. So if I navigate to the web team, and I go there, and then I go to the features view.
Yep.
Because by default, when I'm looking at the backlog, it just shows me my tasks. Mm-hmm. But I can say I would like to see the features that things roll up to, which is actually nice as a developer, because it's kind of nice to know I've been told make this change to a database table.
Yep.
But I'd like to know why that matters. So it's really nice to be able to sort of show, hey, that task I've been assigned is a requirement because it sort of rolls up to this particular feature as well. So it's really nice to have that sort of ability to see how what you're doing rolls back up. So great new item, a capability, the ability to have these features. So, all right, let's go back to our slides. So that said, the feature into work items, into tasks. That's new. Ooh, and I hit the scroll bar very quickly, apparently.
See, I'm telling you, managing slides, it's harder
than it looks. It's harder than it looks, it is. All right. yes, have you ever tried to track the status of tasks for a very specific team? I'm going to take that as a yes right there and then. So you'd say, you've got one team, you're the programming supervisor, and you're doing that walk around going, how's it going? Are you going to be done? What's the status of things? Again, it's one of those things, honestly, when I was a programming supervisor, the amount of time I spent doing Gantt charts and updating Gantt charts boggled my mind. I think I probably spent 30% of my week simply tracking and updating status.
And I remember one company I worked for, the boss that we had, frankly, was a bit of a micromanager. And so we basically had to keep going into this wiki page and updating it every single time that we did something. You know,
because they always want to know, because that's what their manager is asking them.
Exactly.
So there's always pressure.
Yep.
So we have a great new feature called the Kanban board, and it helps you keep track of your work over time. So as a manager, you could, again, track what the status is in a particular iteration, and it's also customizable per team, which allows you to do some neat stuff. And actually, we'll pop in and I'll show you how it works, because it's that ability to customize it for a specific team that really gives it a punch that makes it much more effective and more powerful as a tool. So if I go back, and I'm actually going to change the team here, I'm going to choose the devices team, because I have a very specific situation that I could see coming up with the devices team that would only affect them. And I want to show you how I can use the Kanban board to help that team work more effectively and help make their manager happier.
Make it so.
Okay. So I go to here, and I can see, of course, the team's backlog. Mm-hmm. This is what they got to do, but I want to go to their board. This is the Kanban board. And what you can see is that we have status, again, of new, something's approved, something committed, something that's done. And what I'm going to do is I'm actually going to, and there's some neat stuff here. For example, you can see how approved it says 1 of 5. Mm-hmm. You can actually, as a manager, you might say, I don't want my team doing too many things at the same time.
Right.
To be too committed to too many things until they're finished.
Yep.
So this 5 is actually a number I can customize.
Okay.
And what it'll allow me to do, so if I customize the columns, I can actually go in here and say, you know, I don't want us to commit to more than 3 items at a time because we've got a history on our team of people multitasking and doing their ADD.
Yep.
I got 3 team members. I only want to be committed to 3 tasks at a time.
And by the time that you're done, you've got everything about 60% complete.
Right.
Yeah.
And everybody's like, oh, I'm almost done.
Right, yeah, uh-huh, uh-huh.
Now, as soon as I do that, you'll notice.
The mail.
Yes.
Yeah.
You'll notice it still allows me to have 4 items that are committed because it's going to happen, but it's going to flag it in red so I can go, ooh, I kind of need to keep an eye on that.
Yep. Okay.
Even cooler, though, is I can go in here and I can actually add additional columns.
Okay.
So I want you to think, if I'm a devices team, okay, everybody's got, I've got a new task, it's been approved, we're doing the work, or it's done.
Yep.
But I could see an extra step maybe for the devices team, so I'm going to actually add another phase that this team wants to track called tested on a device. Because if they're building apps for tablets or phone, I want to make sure it's working on the physical devices as well.
Absolutely.
So any little extra check mark you need on that specific team, you can set up. And you go ahead and click OK. And now, only for this team, I have the ability to go, oh, well, this particular task, yes, this is working and it's been tested on a device.
Nice.
So great little feature. It's called the Kanban board.
Okay.
All right. Let's go on and back to our slides.
Slide dance.
Dumped you. All right, I'll work it. I'll have the slide dance down by
okay, all right. It's different than a safety dance for any children of the 80s.
That's a nice Canadian reference as well there. Men Without Hats, Montreal band.
Oh, no kidding. I did not know that.
All right.
See? Yeah, you're a bit of trivia for the day. You get a little bit of everything in our presentations, you know?
You never know what you're going to learn.
See?
All right, I got another scenario for you if it ever came up.
Okay.
Have you ever, again, you're like a supervisor, you're working on a project, mm-hmm. and there's certain tasks that you're assigned, and maybe some of them interact with a third-party system.
Yep.
Or some of them have to work on, for a particular type of customer, requires a higher security.
Okay, yeah.
Right? So they're just these special cases.
And there's something external that needs to be handled as well.
Right. So,
yes.
You know, you're one of those ones, you just want to easily be able to flag, oh, here's all the ones that are going to be higher security clearance. Or
yep.
Here's all the work items we have, which are going to be interfacing with that other system. So I have extra things I have to worry about.
Yep.
So I just need an easy way to sort of go, I've got these special cases. And I want to be easily able to identify them and locate them and tag them. So, suitably enough, since I used the word tagging, we can now tag our work items.
Just like that.
And then once we've tagged them, we can then search and show all the work items that have a particular tag. And it's really easy to go off and do. So we'll head off back to our virtual machine again.
I like how easily you're able to move. Just, you know, boom, boom, boom.
Boom,
there
boom.
It is.
Go from A, go to B. Absolutely. All right. I'm going to go back to the full team here, the whole team, because I want to have the full list. And I'm going to go to my backlog. So that I can see all my different work items.
Mm-hmm.
Now, right now, there's no way of seeing the tags on the screen. It's not being displayed. But you can customize this view to show it the way you want. So I'm just going to go to the column options and say, I would like to see the tags. Because if I'm going to tag them, I probably want to be able to see them.
That sounds perfectly
reasonable.
Seems
a little crazy, yep. I know. All right, so now I've added the tag option. So now all I have to do is I can open up any particular work item.
Yep.
And you'll notice at the top right, you have the ability to add tags.
Perfect.
So maybe this is going to be developed for Windows Phone, or maybe this is a customer-facing feature.
Okay.
So it's something I want to make sure it does a certain type of user interface capability testing.
Yep.
So I'm going to add that tag, and I can add multiple tags, of course, if I want. Now, what's neat is you'll notice there were some built in already.
Yep.
Those were there because I tagged other work items with that.
Okay.
Now, once I have added the tag, if I go to customer can find another location. That's another one that's customer facing.
Mm-hmm.
You'll notice now when I go to add customers on the list box.
Perfect.
So you don't have that problem of, you know, somebody adds it with a typo and someone else doesn't and you run into those fun things.
Yep.
So now I have these tags and hang on, my column
options. Yeah, you just didn't
move I didn't
actually move it over. You grabbed it.
I need it add to my view,
there
please.
There you go.
Thank you.
the number of times that I, yeah.
Exactly. So now you can see the tags. But of course, when you've got a lot of different tasks, you're going to want to be able to use this filter button over here on the far right.
Okay.
And that allows you to say, well, I want to filter by, and I select the tag that I'm interested in, mm-hmm. customer. And if you want to clear the tag, you just click on that filter button again.
Oh, perfect.
So very easily go in, identify different work items, tag mm-hmm. them any way that's going to be useful for you.
All right.
Okay. Moving on.
Moving on up?
Yeah.
To
so
the
many
east
little
side?
Things. Yes. Yeah. You are full of obscure 80s, a lot of 80s references in particular, I will say.
I am a child of the 80s.
Yes. All right. All right. Now, So those are some of the new things that really help us out with the planning, with thinking of what's going on in the project overall. Now I want to take a step over and take a look at some of the features that are more specific for the developing stages, for the developers more likely to be playing around with.
I gotcha.
So having said that, the developer could be going in here as well and updating status, changing hours completed, and so on.
Mm-hmm.
So here's one, another little scenario. You're in the middle of a project. You're the programmer. You've taken a couple of days off because, mm-hmm. you know, you were sick or whatever, taking a couple of days holiday. And then you come back and you want to find out what happened while you're gone. Like, did Mike get that code checked in yet? Because I needed to edit that code when he was done with it. And is the new build out yet for this system over here? And you end up sort of spending an hour running around bugging everybody?
An hour? That's after maybe you were gone for a day. If you go on a week's vacation, forget it. There's the entire first day that you're back is running around trying to get caught up on everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it is. It's just one of those little things that you do, and you do end up having to go bug a lot of people. It is things like, did you check in that code yet? Is the new build done?
Yeah.
And just sort of what happened while I was gone. You read your email. It doesn't tell you the picture of what's happening necessarily on the project in terms of the little things that are affecting you.
Right.
So one of the new things we have is something called a team board. So this, or team room, is basically a record of everything that's happened on the team on a particular day. And you can go back at any point and say, so what happened Monday when I was gone? Did that code get checked in?
Mm-hmm.
Did the build go out on schedule when I was expecting it to? And I can see all this and look it up. So let me show you, you can use it to do things like share announcements with team members. So you can actually go in there to tell everybody if something significant is happening or a new standards document's released, for example. You can use it to send messages to a specific team member. So, you know, if you literally want to say, hey, Christopher, I see you haven't checked in your code yet, you know, when's that going to be done? and I can also use it to track what has been happening. So it does all three of those things. So I'll go and do a little demo here. Because I'm liking demos.
Mm-hmm.
Demos are fun.
You got to show it.
Yeah. It's very different to see than to talk about it.
Absolutely.
All right. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to switch portals here because this one's set up, has the room. And if we choose rooms, it brings up what we call the default team room. Now, any guesses on why it would be called the default team room?
Because it's the, the word will come to me. It starts with a D, rhymes with e-fault.
Yes.
Default.
It's right. It is the team room that actually comes with,
excellent.
It comes with by default when you create a project.
All so right.
You can, of course, customize this, change the views and what's displayed on it, but this is the default team room, and even the default you'll find is quite functional. It tells me who's logged in at the moment. At the mm-hmm. moment, I'm the only team member who's logged into the system. I can see other team members who aren't logged in at the moment. I can see what's happening. I can see the activities that have occurred on different days, and in fact, you can actually move back. And you can move back to days in the past to see what's been going on the team. So I can see what's happened. And I can, at any time, I can hit live to come back to today's date. So just a really easy way to sort of see what's going on. And you can actually go in and if you go to manage events, this is where you decide what types of events are going to pop up in the team room. So I want to know when builds have been done.
Mm-hmm.
Or I want to know when code changes have been checked in. Or I want to know if a work item was updated. So, you know, were new work items added while I was away that are going to affect me? Or it has a code review been completed? So I can customize the types of events I want seeing appearing up. So it's not cluttered. It's information that's going to be useful to me. We have the chat feature as well. So I go live again here. I can go down to the bottom of the screen, and I have the ability here to have chats. And it can be as simple as, you know, hi, Adam. And I can tag a team member. When will that code be checked in?
So very similar to you would see in most normal kind of social
environment.
Okay.
But you know, you know you're going to be living in this tool every single day.
Right.
So why not do that basic chat and capability in the place where you're working and living every single
absolutely.
Day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Kind of like going back to the little Azure that we did in Visual Studio. You know, if you're already there, it'd be nice to stay there. Keep doing what you're doing.
Yep. So, and now, of course, Adam's going to see highlighted, so it'll be very clear to Adam. He'll get tagged on that.
Yep.
Adam, you can also
get Everett.
Yep. We have made changes to work item. If you put a hashtag in front of something, it actually links it to that work item.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, so if you've made a change to a particular work item, you can actually tag that, and then whoever, when you, people see that message, they don't have to go searching for it.
Right.
They can just go click on it, and poof, there's the information about that specific work item that just made changes.
Excellent.
Yeah. The other thing that I find sometimes happens, as we're trying to get this up, is you'll make a change to a piece of code, and, you know, 3 months later, somebody comes to you and says, hey, I saw you made this code change. And when you made that code change, why did you do it this way instead of the other way? Why did you choose that particular method? And,
right.
and you remember there was a conversation about it, and but you can't remember what that conversation was. So you find yourself going and digging through email from 3 months ago or a year ago, trying to remember why did we decide to make the change the way we did.
Yep.
So these types of discussions happen all the time. So there's another neat new feature that we've got in 2013, which allows you to put lightweight code comments in so that even within the browser, somebody who's not inside Visual Studio can add little comments in there so you can sort of have that history of what you've been changing inside your code. And it's pretty straightforward, and now we'll find out if we've successfully launched that virtual machine again. And thanks for the help there, Christopher.
You're very welcome. See, we're really cooking here on this show.
Oh, yeah.
See?
We're on the fly, man. We're good. We're rolling now. All right. And we go back to our... I want to go back to this one here, and I'm going to choose code, because I'd be making... So maybe a change set has just been checked in. So I'm going to pick one of my change sets if it's been made here. I'm going to go back to 47 because I know it's got a nice set of code that's modified there. And
cool.
What I can do is I can see, you know, the different changes that were checked in with that code set.
Yep.
And this is an Internet Explorer, not certainly Visual Studio here, so even a manager can do this. And you say, oh, look, you were changing the connection string.
Uh-huh.
So I can go in here and I hit add a comment. And I can say, why did you change the connection string? Right? And now that comment gets stored with that change set, and we can address that comment. And the whole change history of the conversation will be stored with that change set.
Okay. That's cool.
And you can also, if you want, you can actually go down to the specific file, if you prefer, and put a comment on the file level indicating it. So you can put the comment at a change set level, or you can have the comment at a file level, so right on web config. So again, I can go and add a comment and saying, no, really, why did you change it? Or, if you really want to get specific, if you notice, if you highlight the code, you can actually put a comment right at a line of code.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. No, I mean this line right here.
I have worked for a manager that would do exactly that. I think we all have.
Yeah. So it's wonderful. You've got this. And, of course, you can tag people in these to ask who you want to give you comments back on it. And said, and then that whole history is right there, and anyone else will be able to access it. So no more digging through email to see this type of information. And the other feature that's kind of cool, and I'll show it now, and then I'll flip to the slide that talks about it, is CodeLens. And I know you did a little introduction to CodeLens already. But if you open up your project in here, and we open up the call center solution, and then we go to Solution Explorer, and we open up one of the files, I want to show you how CodeLens shows you a lot more when you're working within TFS. It gives you more information. And I think it's, if I go to web, there's a nice little file that's got some good examples, because I want something that's going to have a few references and things to take a look at. So I think it's in Customer Controllers. Here we go. Notice how you don't just see the references. You see who made the changes to this code. So I can see that Brian's been made, and two other people made changes. And of course, I can click on that and see exactly who has made changes and when to this code. I can actually even go on, and if I close that one, getting paranoid about closing things now. And if I click on the changes, I can even go in and see. So I can either go by who's made changes or what changes were made, and you can even go in and sort of take a look and get links to more than that.
Yep.
If you are using Test Manager in addition. So if I was to bring up View Test Explorer, okay, can't find something.
Test.
When in doubt, use my quick launch. view on the, no, not test results. I just want Test Explorer.
It's under test.
It's under test. That's why. Thank you.
You're welcome. That's one of those things that under Windows.
Windows, yes. Thank you. Test Explorer.
Test Explorer. That's one of those, it boggles me my mind every single time because basically every single window that you want is just right there under view.
Yes.
Except for the couple that are like hidden under debug and test. Gets me every single time.
So what I've done is I've launched Test Explorer and I've gone in and I've run a bunch of tests and I want you to point out a couple of them have failed. And
that's
what's
kind of
cool. Yeah. So what's neat though is if you go down, you will actually see. And which one? Hang on. I remember which one it was that actually fails. It's the create method, I seem to remember. This one here, I thought. There we go. Notice how it's actually updating the code lens to show me that only one of the two tests actually passed for this specific method.
Very cool.
So you can even see the results of your testing right inside CodeLens. So much more powerful CodeLens combined with TFS is it just kicks it up a whole other notch.
That's very cool.
So yeah, all right, let's go on. And Christopher, I think it's a case of, given everything that's happened to me, a little stress there, closing my VM and still going. So Susan's going to need a break. I'm going to need you to do something for a second. So
all
let
right.
me hop ahead.
Yep.
We were just talking about CodeLens.
Yep.
Now,
just need a slide.
Maybe you could talk a little bit about some of the stuff with GitHub.
Sure. So GitHub, obviously, for those of you not familiar, is an online source control environment. And so what's very nice about GitHub is the fact that you can very easily share your code with other people. You have the ability to grab other people's code and actually go in and start to customize it. So if you are trying to do something maybe more in a diverse team or you are trying to do something that's going to be open source, GitHub is a great way to do that. Now, in the past, what needed to happen in order to use GitHub was you actually had to download the GitHub tools, you saved your files, and uploaded them and so forth. Well, now GitHub support is actually built, first of all, directly into Visual Studio. So I can actually just save straight to GitHub from Visual Studio. I don't even need the Windows components for GitHub to be downloaded. But the other big feature that I have is I can go to TFS and I can say, hey, TFS, I'm going to create a project and I want my source code to be stored inside of GitHub. So even though I'm using TFS, I can still put all of my code inside of GitHub if I want to be able to share that out that way.
Yeah. So as I said, it's a much better integrated, simpler to implement, as I said, and a lot of people using GitHub already, so you don't have to change anything to start using the TFS.
Exactly.
Yep.
Exactly. Now, the other real big thing, kicking on into the Visual Studio Online slide, I have to tell you that all of that is amazing. But it's also nice sometimes for myself as a contractor, where I'm typically working either by myself or with just a couple of other people, to be able to do and take advantage of a lot of that functionality without needing to do the local deployment of TFS. I mean, if it's just me sitting at home writing code with my dog at my feet, I'm not going to stand up TFS inside my house. That's just not going to happen. But I still want a lot of that functionality that if I am going to be working with a couple of people, things like Team Room, really nice to have. The ability to even just have
just
the basics
to track
of source
it. I just
control.
Find just planning your phases and releases and what you're going to be doing.
Absolutely. Or if you go in and you wind up making a change to a file and you realize, oh, wait a minute, I didn't want to do that, the ability to roll back is fantastic. You know, so even just those little things. And this is where Visual Studio Online comes into play. So if we kick on over to slides, next slide. There we go. What you're going to notice is that you get a lot of different capabilities without having to install Visual Studio. So you're going to notice that you get the basic things like your planning, your item tracking, your discussions. If you step it on up into the next level, you do get your team rooms, you do get your work item chart authoring, and then you'll also even notice that you can get your web test case management going all the way into premium and above there. Inside of Visual Studio. Now, as far as pricing goes, and I'll go in and I'll do a couple of demos here in just a moment, you are going to notice that this is already there. That going back to the conversation that we were having in the previous module about Azure and, hey, you know, if you've got an MSDN account, congratulations, you've got some Azure credits coming your way. You'll also notice that if you've got MSDN, you've already got access to Visual Studio Online. There's nothing else that you need to do. If you decide, hey, you know what, we just want to use Visual Studio Online, you could just do that as well. But then there's that little circle one. And if you are a smaller team, And you don't need necessarily a lot of those features. Visual Studio Online for free, 5 users, and you get that centralized source control, and you get some of those basic capabilities. For smaller teams, smaller organizations, that can absolutely be a perfect little solution.
And yeah, I've actually run into students who are taking courses and they were doing their class projects with TFS Online. I mean, you can do the big, massive projects using the Visual Studio Online as well, but it's a great little option. I have actually done small projects using on-premise, but it's nice to have that option of just doing it online.
Exactly.
Do you want to give us a, we don't have a ton of time, but do you have time maybe to do us a little short demo?
Sure. We kick on over to my system there. I closed a little X and it gave me a little JavaScript error. But in any event, this is actually my Visual Studio Online right here. And what you're going to notice is that you get a lot of those same capabilities that we saw previously. So you'll notice that I've got a series of different projects over here. I've got my recent team rooms. I can actually go in. Let's just create a brand new one right here. So let's go ahead and give this a name of our MBA. Demo. Let's go ahead and give this a description. This is a Hello World app. You can choose your process template from right inside of there. And you'll also notice, as promised, that you can use TFS or you can also use Git as well.
That's all it takes. Just click on Git.
That's it. So let me go ahead and just leave that inside of TFS and let me create my project. And what this is now going to do is go off and create everything for me. So just waiting for that to do its thing there. So just take a couple of seconds.
Or a couple more.
Just, you know, always having to wait for blue bars to grow here. Come on.
I wonder if you can get fertilizer for those bars to help them grow faster.
You went a long way for that joke.
I did.
That's awesome. Okay. I love it. Yep.
Just trying to keep up with you, Christopher.
There we go.
All right.
So your project is created, and you know what? It says it right there. Your team is absolutely going to love this.
I love it when developers have a sense of humor and the team lets them go with it.
Yep, absolutely. I'll always remember one of the early Visual Studio betas that if it crashed, what would wind up happening is it would pop up a dialog box that would allow you to hit OK, cancel, and then there was a lame button. It was all capital letters, L-A-M-E, bang, bang, after it. So that way you could report that as kind of a bad feature. I got a huge
That's
kick
funny.
Out of that.
Yeah.
So in any event, now what you'll notice inside of here is this is now my my workspace. And so a lot of the same functionality that that Susan demoed is available right inside of here. So you want your backlog? Your backlog is available right there. Hey, it looks just like you had
exactly.
previously. Yep. If I kick back here, let's bring up my task board. Hit that.
Looks.
And sure enough, there is my my task board. Not a whole lot going on inside of
but
there.
But it's the same task board, but we saw.
Exactly. You'll also notice that I could go in, manage members. So I could maybe go in and add different people.
So you could add me to your team.
Exactly.
And we could code together.
Let me see. Can I find you in there? I don't know which account you use.
Probably my live.
There we go. Perfect. And save.
There you go.
So there you go. Congratulations. Welcome aboard. The pay stinks, but the hours are terrible.
Okay.
So
I'm in.
Yep. Excellent. So we'll go ahead and close that out. You'll also notice that we do get the little team room, so I can go in and do again everything that that Susan showed there. Let me go in at and then Susan. Get to work.
All right.
There we go.
And again, this all just comes back to that basic principle of, you know what, focus on your core competencies. If you don't want to focus on having to maintain the server, running TFS, you now have this option of using that power of the cloud, using Visual Studio Online, and you've still got the ability to manage your projects and track everything begin to end. Really
exactly. And what I also like about this, just to close all this off, is you'll also notice right over here, just open up inside Visual Studio.
Yep.
So all I have to do is just hit that little link, allow, and then this will go ahead and launch Visual Studio, and now I'm connected up to that environment.
You've got that Team Explorer and everything all ready to go.
Exactly. So I'm all set, ready to go, ready to start adding in all my projects. If I want to get in, start to see all the pending changes, the task board, et cetera, I can do all of that from there. And what I really like about that is that as you maybe move from one system to the next, I can always remember just visualstudio.com. Just go there, log in, find the project that I want, hit open, and then away I go from there. So a very natural way to go in and find the items that that you're looking for.
Yeah. So said great alternative. Said take advantage of that cloud, especially on smaller companies where said you may not have that team that wants to maintain the servers with the installation. Not as it's an easy installation, but it's just that ability to have.
Yeah,
that power.
You know, having to stand up the servers, worrying about high availability, disaster recovery, all that.
All
you
that
know,
good stuff.
Let somebody else worry about
yeah.
that.
All right, I got one last thing I'm going to show you fairly quickly, because I do have another scenario that comes up occasionally. How many environments do you typically have on a project? Let's see, you got development, and then what, your how probably like integration testing environment,
yep.
and then your system or functional testing environment.
And you got production.
And you got maybe a user acceptance testing.
Yep, you've maybe got a staging environment.
Yeah, it could be like a pilot production, like a pre-production production environment. It's
206.
Right.
Yeah.
So with all that creates a lot of fun. If you think about a typical sort of
fun.
Release cycle, fun, I use the word fun lightly. So you've got all these different environments that we're deploying our code to. And if you think about what we do when we're really deploying, we've got to build and package a code. We've got to get the servers configured and ready for it. Then we have to deploy. Then we test. And then we're ready for production. Though, to be honest, you're probably going to deploy and test multiple times mm-hmm. as you're fixing bugs and things that go back and get rebuilt and reprovisioned and redeployed. And then you're finally ready to put in production.
It seems like that slide needs a lot more arrows to be real world.
So our release cycle ends up being more like build a package, deploy and test it all on dev. And then when you get to a certain stage, you approve it, you go deployed and test on integration, then you approve it and then you deploy in QA. And we all have different numbers of these environments, but we all have multiple environments to manage. So one of the things that we've often had to do is if you think about all the different things we have to do, set up the environment, install the applications. In the past, we've typically used a lot of different tools to do this. Lab managers, PowerShell, different tools, custom tools, unit testing tools, test manager, and all these things together did allow us to manage our releases.
Yep.
Well, one of the things that we've done in 2013 is we've purchased a new product. It was produced in Canada. Just adding that in there. InCycle Software in Canada, we purchased their product, and it's called in-release management. And basically, it's a continuous deployment solution for .NET teams. You can literally, all those tasks, configuring things, setting up test data, running automated tests. So you can go in and say, here is my here's the environments I want to be deploying to for this project. You can specify how you log in, how you deploy the code.
Mm-hmm.
You can do things and say, you know, when the build is complete, notify people, set tests to start running automatically when a build is completed or a deployment is completed to really simplify things. This is not going to be a trivial implementation. If you want to use in-release management, this is something you're not going to do for your little project, Christopher.
Mm-mm.
But I have worked on those projects where we really were building a larger system with mission-critical systems and this sort of capability. We were doing it all manually, basically, or with 15 different tools. So we have this awesome new tool to help you configure and manage multiple environments. It should make your lives easier. It comes with Visual Studio Test Professional Premium and Ultimate. And with Deployment Agent 2013. So not all the versions of Visual Studio 2013 do come within release because it really is meant for the larger enterprise type implementations.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so it makes sense. And you can get more information about it on in release. If you actually look at some of the information from Visual Studio 2013 launch, there's even videos there doing some demonstrations of what you can do within release management.
Yep.
So you can get a feel for how it works. So as we've talked before, just in case you hadn't had a chance to catch some of the previous sessions, if you do want to explore Visual Studio 2013, different ways you can access it here. Christopher,
yeah, the
want to
only
add
thing I want to mention, we've had a couple of questions in the chat environment about, you know, what features are supported with both Visual Studio as well as, in particular, since we just did the little demo on it, Visual Studio Online. And what I'd really recommend doing is just head on over to www.visualstudio.com and check it out inside of there, because they will tell you that all the different capabilities. So if you are premium, if you are ultimate, if you know,
if specifically on visualstudio.com, if you go to the products item,
yes.
And then it's under products, there is a feature comparison chart.
Yep.
That is the magic page you want to go to.
Yep.
It will literally list bullet point, here's what you've got in premium versus ultimate, and it's a really fabulous summary of what
yep.
you get with the different licenses.
Exactly.
That's my go-to document.
Yep.
And I think that about wraps this one up.
I do believe that that you are correct. That does wrap that up.
All right. So thank you for joining for this. Come back in about 10 minutes, and we will talk about what's new for apps in Visual Studio.
Sounds great. We'll see you then.